Welcome to Let's Talk, the half hour where we join various guests from around our community. Now, let's talk.
Welcome to the program, listeners. Tyler Friel with you on WISR 680 AM 107.5 FM. This is Let's Talk, the half hour where we sit down and chat with various organizations, businesses, nonprofits, and more. And today on the program, we've got a new guest. We are joined by Jewel Rozanski. She is the owner of Cultural Travel, and she joins us in studio. Jewel, nice to meet you. Great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Nice to meet you, too.
So we're going to learn more about Cultured Travel and everything that they have going on and some of their offerings. But as always, we like to remind our listeners, hey, if you can't stick around for the next 30 minutes, we do have you covered. You can go online to WISR680.com. Look under our programs page. There you'll be able to find today's show of Let's Talk. We're also available on Spotify as well. So if you're a Spotify user, you can find us as a podcast there. When we encourage you to like and subscribe to the show as well. Also, you can find us on your St. Barnabas Radio mobile app, on the desktop, really anywhere where you have audio, you can find us here on the Let's Talk show. But once again, Jewel Rozanski, our guest with Cultured Travel. And Jewel, first of all, I'll just give you a chance to kind of explain exactly what Cultured Travel actually is.
Yeah, thank you. So a lot of people don't actually understand it right away because it's not, I get a lot of, you know, people thinking it's just a normal travel agency, but I'm not going to book your daughter's destination wedding. I'm not going to book your next cruise. I'm definitely not sending your family to Disney, although that's awesome and everything, but not what I do. So I specifically design and curate tours that are more of an educational nature, more often for adults, but we sometimes have families go as well, and then take people to these destinations. So in all the destinations that I have, the tours take a long time to develop. They take a lot of research. They take a lot of vetting. And I have to have contacts in those areas that I know and trust will take care of things for me or will be a good resource, especially if there's a language barrier. I have to have those key people in place to want to take people there.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing this?
My business partner and I started this in 2019. And I retired from my previous career of teaching Spanish in 2021. So I've been doing it full time now for going on 5 years.
Why? why was it? I mean, it's a very, you know, to me, when you hear entrepreneurs, they talk about, oh, we started a bakery, we started this, that, you know. But why this? Why was this a passion of yours?
So I try to give people the Reader's Digest version of this because I could, it's a...
You can explain.
Okay. I was going to say it's a pretty expansive story, but...
Well, I think it's really interesting. I really do, because this is such a unique venture. I mean, you're talking about not just traveling, you know, areas of Western PA, but we're talking about traveling the world and doing this as a business venture, to me, is very interesting.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I was a teacher for 14 years and I taught Spanish. And so it was very important to me to get students out and get them seeing the world and experiencing different cultures and learning. And I also have a minor in history. So I did Spanish club, but I also did history club too. So I loved to plan day trips and different field trips and things for the kids. And then I worked with a tour company and took kids to Mexico when I was 23 years old.
Oh,
and
geez.
Then subsequently, like every other year after that, I would do some other big international adventure. So I did Spain and Italy and Peru and Costa Rica and Puerto Rico. And then I did some domestic things like New York City and Chicago, Gettysburg, even Pittsburgh, because I taught 3 hours away from here.
Yeah.
So I loved doing that. And then I was just really fortunate that some of my students' father, who was also a really avid traveler and an entrepreneur who owns an online learning company where I moved here from, he and I had just been talking about how important travel was, and it morphed into them just having me up for dinner with their family, and it turned into like, hey, let's go into business together. Like, I've already been doing big trips to Egypt and Turkey and stuff with my friends and family. Like, let's make this into something. And that was 2019. And so, yeah, it was kind of
turned
like
the
universe's way of being like, here's something awesome. You better take the opportunity and do it.
Well, you mentioned why you had in that conversation as why travel is important. So, you know, because some people look at it and go, oh, it's, you know, a luxury, or it's something that, you know, if I get around to doing, I'll do. So why for you is travel important to you and your experiences? How has it benefited you?
Yeah. So I honestly think travel is just absolutely crucial to life, at least for me, to having a expanded perception of the world and the people, and really realizing that we're all the same everywhere on this planet. We all have the same need for friendship and love and understanding and acceptance. And I just think you can't really get that if you don't experience things different from what your own bubble might be. If you're never challenged to see a culture that's not like yours, if you're never exposed to people who weren't raised like you, I just don't think you have the same outlook and understanding of life. I think it's just so enriching in that way. And the things that you can learn historically, obviously by visiting lots of different places as well, just give you a vast sense of really your small place in the world.
Yeah.
So
what was your first international trip?
My first international trip, I don't count Canada because I lived like two and a half hours
from Canada.
You're
closer to Canada than Pittsburgh.
I was for a long time. So I went to Mexico when I was in college. I had a winter session study abroad in Merida, Mexico. And I was able to meet a really cool family who just sat next to me at a show in a park and became friends with them. So my first student tour there, actually the one I did when I was 23, we went there because I already knew people there that I trusted. And then I'm like, if something goes wrong, and it did, I had a kid lose a passport, you know, that I had people to help me, right? So like, they did, like they came through, they took me and this boy to like the consulate and the, you know, and the Walgreens or wherever to get his photo taken again. And so I had people to trust. So that's been something that stayed with me too. Just the bonds that you form with people that were at one point total strangers and you would have never met otherwise. I have a web like that all over the world now, and people that I know I can trust to do anything, you know, like to help. If I need help, they're going to help me. And I certainly hope they feel the same about me. Like if you were here, I will help you.
Yeah. How do you start those connections? Is this just, you have such a social personality that you'd be like, hey, who are you? You know, how does that work?
Well, yeah, honestly, kind of, like the family in Mexico, you know, it was a kind of a history-based trip too. So a lot of the people weren't Spanish speakers where I was. And so when I sat next to this family, I'm like, oh, hey, like, I'm going to be a Spanish teacher. How are you? Like, this is where I'm from. And I just started speaking Spanish because I wanted to use it. And I like to learn about people in general, whether it's here in the U.S. or abroad. I just like to learn about people and their life and their stories. And so, yeah, like, it's an odd hodgepodgery. Sometimes it's referrals. Like, I'm doing a tour to Ireland in April. That'll be my first one there. And Paul, who I am working with on that tour, who's from Ireland, he's a retired scientist, he's super cool. Like, two of my other clients were like, Joel, you have to meet this guy. Like, he wants to do
an
education.
So they've been to Ireland before and they were like, hey, you can connect?
He actually lives in Connecticut now.
Oh, really?
So they know him from Connecticut and they're like, he wants to be doing educational tours. So we are doing a 20th century history tour to Ireland. So focusing primarily on the Troubles and the revolution and things like that, that's not really done otherwise. Like, you're just not going to go to AAA and book something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, my guy in Belfast.
Can I take the war trip to Ireland?
Yeah,
that's not usually out there.
No, it's not. But if you're nerdy enough, you might want to take it.
Yeah.
I sold it out in like 5 seconds to my list. So yeah, my base is pretty solid when I do a new trip.
So let's just talk about how you plan a new trip then.
Yeah.
Is there an approximate amount of time that these trips are done, or does that vary? How do you come up with that timeline?
You know, it really does vary based on destination. So I think I'm going to give you an example of one I'm super proud of that's local.
Okay.
That I did. So I actually developed a Whiskey Rebellion multi-day tour, primarily centered in the Pittsburgh area, of course.
Hmm.
So a friend of mine is a professor in Texas, and his PhD is in early American history. So he and I have been talking about, like, we should do Salem, we should do something, we should collaborate on something, because I do have professors work with me regularly on these tours and things. And so I'm like, oh, I don't really know anything about it. Like, I remember the name from a history book back in, you know, I don't know, the 90s or something, but I you know, I don't really know. So I just started reading about it and watching documentaries about it, and then mapping out all the different sites in our area. And then on weekends, I took my daughter and, like, we went to all these different sites, and I start emailing the people. And then I'm like, I want to meet with you in person. And then I picked the Omni William Penn as our base to stay.
Good place to go.
Right? Yeah. And so then I kind of developed a chronology for working my way through the history of the rebellion, but also one that logistically had to make make sense with busing and things as well.
So it seems complicated, to be honest with you. Yeah.
But I like it jazzes me up. So, but I'm, you know, I talk to people in this area and they're like, well, I don't know anything about the Whiskey Rebellion.
I really don't.
I didn't know there was a plantation right off of 79, just north of the Heidelberg exit. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, there is. You could almost see it if you look through the tree line on 79. And so, yeah, I mean, that's some of the ways I meet people too, is just like when I find something, then I go, I vet it. And then I end up just like, oh, this person's great. Like, these people are amazing, and wanting to share their passion too. You meet a lot of passionate people in this work that are like really excited about the site they run or the tour company they have or the food trip they do, you know, or the little yeah, experiences that people have.
Talking with Jewel Rosansky of Cultured Travel. In these travel instances, when you, I mean, obviously these are very history based, then a lot of education based.
Yeah. Sometimes I have a couple cultural ones too, like in Italy.
So break down maybe the difference between if I wanted to do a culture trip or if I wanted to do a history trip.
Yeah. So it's going to be one or the other. Like, no one's ever just going and sitting on the beach. Not that there's anything wrong with that either. But so I have certain tours like Rome, Venice, Istanbul, where we have Professor Thomas Madden. He's an expert in the Crusades and published several books, and he just come out with a new one. I'm really proud of him. It's super cool. But anyway, so he goes with us on the trips on all of those particular tours, and he will actually provide a nightly lecture for about an hour each evening. And then we go out touring with a local tour guide for half of the day. And then we have free time where we'll provide a vetted list of museums and restaurants and suggestions for people to do. And I'll always throw out like the Jewel Default, or my business partner, if he's on a trip, or one of my other colleagues, they'll throw out like, hey, I'm going to go to this museum if you want to come. So people who want that flexibility and freedom have it. People who want to be told, hey, this is what
I don't want to plan anything. Just
then you just follow Jewel and you're taken care of. Okay. So you have your flexibility there. Whereas like my Spain and my Italy tours are a little more cultural. So like in Spain, we do visit castles, which is really cool. But we do a lot of wineries. We do tapas and cooking. And I'm doing two Italy tours in Calabria, one in June, and one that I'm actually working with Stroll Treesdale to develop in the fall. And it's a lot of like cultural traditions in Italy. So I have a friend over there that runs. So there's bread making, there's a pasta session, there's an olive oil harvesting, there's a winery, there's like a fishing thing. So just talking about all the different traditions and cultural things that like make that place unique, and then teaching people about that.
What's your key to finding a really good restaurant?
Oh God. Oh, that's I told you, I didn't think you'd stump me on anything. I don't know. Well,
because anytime, you know, and I'll even say from a domestic standpoint, you know, when you go to this town, and yeah, you can use Google, you know, but I was burned very recently on like, this place is great. And then you go there and like, it's terrible. No, it's
not. Yeah.
So how, I mean,
honestly, I think it's just like
trial and error.
Experiencing. Yeah. I mean, you can see good reviews and a lot of places can be hit or miss too. You don't know who the chef's going to be that night, or you don't know. For a lot of my tours, I try to go to Spain, for example. I trust the locals, and that's again why I have locals there. Or if it's New Orleans, I've just been there like 30 plus times, so I've tried every.
You've
never enough.
Close
but I've been to a lot. Yeah, I think I have like 50 vetted restaurants in my people's like Google Map that I give them when we go. But so like Spain, for example, we have our welcome dinner in a. I think it's a 12th century stable that's a Michelin restaurant that Bruno, who's one of my super good friends, who's now like my friend too, he runs this wine tour company. Well, this guy who's like a well-renowned tapas chef and, like I said, a Michelin restaurant, they open up just for us and do like this 5-course dinner with wine. And so like if I didn't have Bruno, I might not have necessarily known. I might have found it online, but I really have those good local people that are like, yeah, this is it.
And is that kind of one of the keys then? Because I found that too, again, primarily domestically, but talk to these people and they'll tell you, hey, you got to go here. You got to go here. And that's kind of how you start to form these ideas then?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I can research on my own and go to the places that get the high ratings or the high reviews, but, that's why I really value my relationships in all of these cities too, because they're going to know things that I might not know, or there might be a new place that I didn't think of that I wasn't there last year when I was there, or something else. And they're like, yeah, you need to do this. You need to go here.
What country really surprised you that maybe you had a misconception of, or I thought it would look like this, and then by the time you actually got there, it was completely different?
Yeah. So actually, good question. Turkey. So okay. The first thing I ever did in 2019 after having that conversation, I went to Istanbul because my business partner said Istanbul is my favorite city on earth. And everybody's automatically scared about going to the Middle East for whatever, you know, even if it's far from any sort of conflict, people are nervous about it. And he's like, I want people to see Istanbul and I want people to know what it's really like. So that was the first, one of the first tours that we did. And we've been doing it consistently since. So I didn't really know what to think. I kind of joke, like my family, they were like, oh my gosh, you're going to get human trafficked or something. And like my dad's going to bust out his, or army fatigues have to come rescue
it's gonna
me.
It's going to be taken three.
Right. Yeah. I mean, seriously, like this, we still joke about this. And it was just incredible. Like I love Turkey. So I've been back several times. People always ask me like, well, do you feel safe as a woman? And I'm like, I would walk through Istanbul at night by myself as a woman any day of the week, in consideration of like me doing that in downtown Pittsburgh at night by myself. Yeah. It's just very safe and pleasant. And I'm sure there's neighborhoods that aren't good, just like there are everywhere in the world and every city. But I haven't been exposed to them, probably because my people over there wouldn't expose me to that.
Yeah.
So it's very, very safe, very, very clean. I really like Turkey. It's just, I did a whole trip around Turkey this fall, finally ventured out of the Istanbul area, and I've been to Cappadocia several times, but ventured even further than that, and I just loved it. I love it. I'm like ready to go back.
Yeah, that's awesome. Jewel Rozanski, our guest again, Cultured Travel, the name of the business. As we sit here, Jewel, if people wanted to start to learn more information, what are the best ways to reach out and get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I have a Facebook page, and it's just Cultured Travel, facebook.com/culturedtravel. I have a website, so www.culturedtravel.org. Make sure you know it's .org, not .com. And you can sign up for my email list there. I promise not to spam you. A, I don't have time for it, and B, I hate it myself. So I'm not going to do something to you that I find reprehensible when it's done to me. And my phone number, my business phone number is 412-923-3132.
Generally, how big are the groups that you travel with?
So it can vary. It depends on the trip, but never, ever will I have bigger than 30. I did so many student tours with like 50 kids packed into a charter bus schlepping all over Europe that even including myself or guides or professors, I hardline at like moving 30 people around. Mm-hmm. But typically I would say it's in the low 20s is like a good size, but there are certain tours I do, like the Galapagos tour, for example, where the boat only holds 16.
Okay.
Me included, or you know, a colleague. So sometimes
it kind of just varies then depending on what you have.
But never bigger than 30.
You don't have to give me an exact rundown, but I mean, are we talking all across the globe? I mean, are we talking Japan? Have you been to all these different areas?
No, I haven't been to Japan yet. I get destinations thrown at me all the time.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, people are always just like, when are you going to do a tour here? Yeah. Can't you do a tour here? Like, I want you to do a trip here. And it's like, it takes so much time to develop a tour. And then I want to perfect it, you know, like you do one and you're like, oh, I need to tweak this, or oh, I need to change the timing on this or something. So no, I don't do all of them, but
Is there a bucket list one that you're like, I'd like to get this one on the list?
I'm a big World War II nerd, but there's so many places I actually want to look into, perhaps in France and other places, but can I offer something that no one else is offering there? I don't know yet, you know. But for me, that's a bucket list destination anyway. But domestic, we do New Orleans and Savannah and the Whiskey Rebellion tour, and then internationally, Spain, Egypt, Turkey, Galapagos, Calabria, Italy, Venice, Italy, Rome, Italy.
Are those all done in one, or are they separate?
They're all separate tours. Oh, okay. We actually do a deep dive and focus on each one for a week or so.
As people then would try to evaluate, because I feel like a lot of folks, when they do an international trip or something like that, they're like, well, we're going to this place in Europe, and I'd like to go here, 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 and here. What are the advantages then? As you kind of compare, why do you just sit and focus on this one city as opposed to going to all these different locations?
Yeah, that's a super great question. So when I did the student tours, I did a lot of that, like, you know, 6 different hotels and 10 different days, if that. I mean, maybe it was 10 different hotels in 10 days. You know, it just varied. But my whole passion is really about getting people to know a place, get a feel for a place, and feel like they're home when they're not home. Like, my people, my clients, get to meet my friends when they're in these destinations. They get to see people and meet people and talk to people who live there. And so you get more of an accurate perspective instead of just like, oh, here's an Instagram shot of me in front of the Eiffel Tower. Cool. Now I'm going to Big Ben. Cool. Now I'm like, awesome. So
like really touristy type stuff. Yeah.
Like, I'm not really interested in, not that all that stuff's not great, not that I don't want to, you know, see everywhere I can possibly see, but I want people to walk away from one of my trips feeling like, wow, I love this place. I love these people. I learned so much and I appreciate it.
Have you ever just done a day where you, you know, maybe not necessarily with the group, but when you were in these countries where you just walk around? No idea where you stumble into?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. The first time we went to Turkey, actually, a friend of mine, we ended up stumbling into this like music museum and didn't know there was some sort of like choir practice-y thing going on. So we just like sat down and people just like hand us the music. We're like, we can't really read that. And it ended up being really funny. They finally connected the dots. Like, most of them didn't speak English. We didn't speak Turkish. And then finally someone spoke some English and was like, then we all kind of ended up laughing about it. So, yeah, definitely. And I always encourage people to get in. I'm never going to take someone somewhere I don't feel is safe. Like, I have a family. I'm not going to put myself in jeopardy, you know? So I'm certainly not taking other people and putting them in jeopardy. So everywhere I go, I have to feel as safe. And I always encourage people to get there a day early or stay a day late if you want. And just, especially after the trip, you know, maybe going into it, you weren't sure what to think. But by the end, because we focus on a region or an area, people are comfortable by the time they're done, or they even feel comfortable coming back. And so they're like, yeah, I'm going to go like explore for the day.
It sounds like these trips are, while they're very well structured, aren't very rushed. Is that fair to say that you're not zipping everywhere across because you are kind of focused on one location?
Yeah. Like I said, I really want people to get a feel for it. So, and while time in a bus is sometimes fine and cool, you get to see new scenery. Like, you're not learning anything that you can't learn at home. Like, you're not talking to locals or you're not, unless, you know, they're on the bus with you. But I try not to. Plus, unpacking and packing again sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, it does. So, like, the better, I think it's better when you can hub and spoke even. Yeah. Like, you just stay in one place and, hey, we're going to do a 1-hour ride out here. We're going to do this here. We're going to do this here. So like my Italy trip, we're running a castle for a week, staying in this castle, but we'll take little trips out to the region and do different things every day.
That's really, really cool. The New Orleans trips, is this your favorite American city?
Oh gosh, it's my favorite city anywhere in the world.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I haven't been everywhere, obviously.
Yeah.
I get asked that all the time. Everybody always asks me, and I'm never ashamed to admit that New Orleans is my favorite place to go. And it's everything. So I do not care about Bourbon Street. I do not care about I'm not 21 years old anymore. And even when I was, that was not my scene. So, the history, the blending of cultures, the music, the architecture, the food, the like craft cocktails, the people, like there's everything about it, like just lives in my soul.
Do you go there every year?
At least once.
Really?
Yeah. I'm crazy about it. I love it.
Best time of year to go to New Orleans.
I mean, I've been all the time.
It doesn't matter, January through December.
I haven't been for Mardi Gras yet, which I hate to even admit. Someday I will. But I really like going in December and January. So that's typically when I've done my tours there. The temperatures are great. Like I just got back last Wednesday from there and the temperatures were in the 70s. And And through all these weird, you know, the things that I do, one of my really good friends runs the Joan of Arc Parade, which is the marching parade through the French Quarter that kicks off carnival season. Okay. So I like to go down for that. I've actually been in it before. And it's just a lot of fun. And then I get to have her talk to my guests as well and tell them about the crew and life down there and all the different things she does in the city. And it's, yeah, I just love it. I love it.
Ireland. Did you say this is going to be your first trip to Ireland?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be the first one. It's coming up in April. Like I said, it sold out, I mean, like instantaneously, but...
Seems to be, especially in this area, a very fond connection to Ireland.
Yeah, so a lot of people with their ancestry from there, and I've now read several... Now going there, I've read several books and stuff, so it's interesting, all the politics and different things that caused the immigration over the years. So I guess
we have a colleague here, Dave has been there 13 times, I think, something like that. It was crazy. So he was our resident Ireland aficionado.
Yeah,
but I think this is just it seems to be a really cool way to have these experiences. When you talk with the groups afterwards or individuals who do these, what's their reaction? How what are the reviews that they like about and what they really like about going with cultured travel?
So I think I'm up to like 95 five-star reviews now on my little website, my booking system. Still working on the Google reviews and stepping into modern times, but I think like 20 some five-star reviews there. People really love it. Like if this is your jam, and I'm not faulted. Like if you want to just go sit and relax and read a book on the beach, awesome, that's cool. If you want to go do super touristy things because you've always wanted to see those sites, that's awesome. Like everything is a good.
I always say I don't judge how people vacation.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Like I more power to anybody that's just seizing the moment and doing something. But if this is kind of like the vibe that someone gets it, they like to learn, they like to really focus on getting to know an area, they love it. I have a super solid base of repeat clients who have done anywhere from, I have my top clients, I think, have done 10 trips like the most I have, and I have others that have done like 9, 8, 7, but I definitely, like, it's the same. If I do a new tour, I know right away who I'm, like,
Are you interested?
And then they didn't, you know, a lot of people don't know each other going into the trip, and then they become super good friends. So I call it, like, my OG Egypt group that we went during COVID, and we're, like, all swabbing our noses together every day. I mean, seriously, it was, like, insane. Now that crew, like, a lot of them are on my Ireland tour. We did Galapagos together last year, so like they're all friends now. It's like when can we
again,
and they're from all different parts of the US. So I love uniting people too. So like even if they're I got a picture the other day from some people that are from New Jersey, and they just bought a condo in Denver, and now this other couple from Denver, and they were like having dinner together, like, Joel, hey, you know, and I'm like, yes, and like it just stuff like that excites me too, just to see people making those lifelong friendships from the tours as well.
Well, you do have a couple opportunities for folks if they're interested in joining one of the, or we got two tours that are out there for people to check out.
Yeah, two tours that currently have openings. Most everything in this upcoming year is sold out at this point, but in November I have Egypt, openings for Egypt. You can find out about that on my website, again, culturedtravel.org. And we private charter a 1917 steamship that used to be for a king. And actually two kings, it was one and then his son. But anyway, it only sleeps 28, so that's the max in our group, myself or one of my colleagues included there. And that's super fun. And I have openings for Galapagos in 2027, February of 2027. Max on that tour 16. Same thing, I private charter a boat that only holds that many.
Okay.
So those are the two I've got at the moment that have openings.
And then coming up next week, an event in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm really excited. There might be some listeners out there today that are members of the Traveling Yinzers Facebook group. So I think it's up to like 7,100 members at this point. And it's just a nice place to be able to say like, hey, I'm going to the airport at this time. Like, does anyone know how bad TSA is? Or what's the new parking situation like? Or where's the best place to park? Or, hey, I want to go to Ireland. Does anyone have any suggestions on where I should stay or what I should do? So it's really nice, a nice group for stuff like that. And the creator of that Nick and I, and then there's another guy, Rick, who's involved. We got together, and I am sponsoring through Cultured Travel a meetup at Ruckus Cafe in downtown Pittsburgh on the 24th, so next Saturday. And it's not a sales pitch. Like I said, I don't like spam and sales pitchy things. So it's none of that. It's just a chance. We are really hoping to get some of the members of the group that are local to come together and just chat about travel and meet some new friends and maybe give each other some advice. And then the AAA Travel Expo is actually right after that at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. So we're hoping, like, hey, if there's some other cool people that want to just walk down to the convention center with us and geek out on the travel stuff, yeah, like, come join us. So it's free, and I'm going to be providing $10 credits to people for food and drink purchases. Cool. At Ruckus, and have coffee and a pastry tray out as well.
Is the wine better in Europe?
So I'm a really bad person to ask about that.
Not a wine person?
I am a sweet wine person.
Oh!
And I get made fun of all the time.
Culture travel, sweet wine.
Believe me. My business partner is always like, what pink thing are you drinking like right now? So I like fruit wines. It's like the episode of... So I get made fun of all the time. So I really can't, like, to me, I'm not a big dry wine drinker, but I have a much better appreciation for it now that I've actually seen how it's made and the time that goes into it, and I can swirl my cup and sniff it.
At least act like you know what you're doing.
Yes, correct.
And then cuisine, your favorite, like, area to eat?
Oh, New Orleans. But, New Orleans.
Overseas.
Italy's obviously great, but we have good food everywhere we go. I really thought Turkey was fantastic, and I'm not going to say it's not, but I've been there so many times now, because when I first went, I'm like, oh, this is so fresh, and it's so great, and there's just all these great vegetables and meat, and then now I'm like, I don't want to look at another kebab. I've had enough kebabs and vegetables, but it is really good and healthy, so... but New Orleans is like my favorite food destination ever.
There you go. If people, again, want to learn more, what's the website again?
CulturedTravel.org.
Jewel Rozanski, our guest. Jewel, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, if you missed any of our program, as always, you can find it online, WISR680.com. We're also available on Spotify as well. You've been listening to Let's Talk here on WISR.
The information and opinions shared on this program are solely those of our guests and do not necessarily represent those of WISR, the Butler County Radio Network, or its staff and employees.